We'll be looking at John chapter 3, verses 3 through 15 today. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In verse 3, Jesus says that without the new birth, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Notice what kind of place that heaven is. It is the kingdom of God. Do you understand what he is saying? It has been said that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Did you know that this is true? One of the most precious benefits of the new birth is the fact that we receive a new nature. We receive a new nature when we're saved. 2 Peter 1, verse 4 tells us, "By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." We have been made partakers of the divine nature. When you are saved, you receive God's nature, a nature from heaven. The new birth prepares you for life in a new kingdom. And the only way for you to get into heaven is for you to first get to heaven in you. The divine nature must be in you. Besides, if you went to heaven with a lost, fallen nature, you'd be miserable. Heaven would become hell for you. You would never enjoy that land unless you had a new nature. All the worship, all the praise, all the glories of heaven would be offensive to you if you went there lost. It would be against your nature to enjoy anything in that land. That is why we need a new birth. It prepares us to enter in and to enjoy that new land, that new kingdom, the kingdom of God. It gives us a new nature and it gives us a new life. This business of the new birth should cause you to think. You never see a bird swim in laps in a pool, do you? Why? Because it's against its nature. You don't see a cow dancing. You don't see horses flying. Why? Because it's against their nature. You don't see that happening. It's against their nature. You will never see a lost sinner in heaven. Why? Because it's against their nature. If you're going there, then you need a new nature. And the only way to get that new nature is through the new birth. Why? Your first birth provided you with a physical, fleshly nature. You need a new birth, a birth from heaven to provide you with a new spiritual nature. That's what verse 6 tells us in John 3. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. It's not an option. You can't settle for a maybe so, hope so, or think so kind of salvation. You need to be born again, and you'll know so, because the new birth absolutely captivates you. It overtakes you. The divine nature comes and resides inside you. The new birth. There's no doubt about it if you've been born again. You know you've been born again. When Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born again, it blew his mind. Nicodemus could not grasp how that could be. He imagined himself going back into his mother's womb to be born a second time. Nicodemus said to him, verse 4, chapter 3, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus, he didn't have a clue. He wanted to know how this could happen. So he asked Jesus Christ about the How of the new birth? How is this possible? What are you talking about here? Nicodemus knows that he's in the presence of a mystery, and he wants the answers. Look at verse 5, John 3. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's what's born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said, you must be born again." There's no doubt that the new birth is a mysterious thing. None of us truly understands everything there is to know about it. It's a mystery, even to those of us who have experienced it. However, don't let the fact that it is a mystery cause you to avoid it altogether. You don't let the mystery of electricity cause you to sit in the dark, do you? You don't let the mystery of how animals can eat certain foods and then give forth certain products. You don't understand these mysteries. There's many things that we don't understand in life, but we still believe in them. You believe that if you sit in a chair, that chair will hold you up. Do not allow the mystery of the new birth to keep you from being saved. Notice how Jesus addresses this mystery to Nicodemus. In verses 4 through 7 of chapter 3, he compares it to a birth. Physical birth is a mystery. Even doctors who specialize in that field know that human birth is a marvelous mystery that no one can fully explain. When Jesus says, "Except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God," he's talking about physical birth and spiritual birth. He's telling us that for a man to get to heaven, he must have two birthdays. There must be a day when he's born into the kingdom of men, and a day when he's born into the kingdom of God. There are a few ways that physical birth can be used to illustrate spiritual birth. First, physical birth provides a life. Babies have life. Why? Because they're born. Likewise, spiritual birth provides a person with spiritual birth. Look at 1 John 5, verse 12. We read, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Well, what is he talking about? Obviously, he's talking to people with physical life. He's talking about spiritual life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Notice how exclusive it is. The Son, he who does not have the Son, who is the Son? Jesus Christ, does not have life. Spiritual life. Physical birth provides life. Physical birth happens only once. Physically speaking, you can only be born one time. Spiritually, the same thing is true. Your spiritual birth is a once-for-all experience. It cannot be undone and it cannot be repeated. Physical birth, once. Spiritual birth, once. Also, physical birth takes place because of the suffering of another. A mother enters into the very jaws of death to bring life into this world. Many women have died throughout history, bringing children into this world. Christ entered the cruel jaws of death so that you and I might be born again. The new birth rests squarely upon the pain and the suffering of another. Physical birth takes place because of the suffering of another. Physical birth gives the infant a brand new start. No baby is born with a past. They have no past, only a future. So it is with the new birth. When you get saved, you get a brand new start. Your past is wiped away and a new clean future lies in front of you. All of the sin, all of the pain, all of the heartache is wiped away. The Father says he remembers our sins no more, as the east is from the west. The sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ and his death. The new birth, as I said, is like a physical birth in a lot of ways. In verse 8 of John 3, it's also compared to the wind. Jesus tells Nicodemus that just as the wind can be felt. Now, let me read that verse. Verse 8 of John 3. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Notice, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Christ tells Nicodemus that just as the wind can be felt, it can be measured, and the effects of it can be seen, where it came from and where it went to remains a mystery. That's why previously I had said it was a mystery. I used a couple silly illustrations to try to make that point. Yet the new birth is the same way. You cannot see God do his work in the heart of a man or a woman. But you can see the effects of the wind of the Spirit in a life that has been born again, that has been regenerated. When you see a drunkard or a drug addict leave the drugs, leave the liquor behind, you know that God has been working. When you see a clean language coming from a mouth that used to be a sewer, every other word was an F-bomb coming out of their mouth, now all of a sudden every other word is a praise word, talking about Jesus Christ. You know God has been at work in that person's life. When you see a wicked man or woman that has been promiscuous, that have lived perverted lifestyles, become changed, become virtuous, changed with their sexuality, you know that God has changed those people. When you see a wicked, hateful man or woman turn into a sweet, loving, holy man or woman of God, you know that the wind of the Spirit has been blowing through that soul. It is a mystery because we do not see it happen. But there is no denying the effects of the power of God when he works in the human heart. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, I can save you, and when I do, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. That is what God does for those who come to him by faith. He changes them and alters their lives forever. That's what 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 is all about. It tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, notice, in Christ, he is a new creation. He's been born again. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you know of this? Do you know of this new birth? And if this new birth has taken place, look at verse 18 of that same text. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He makes you a new creation. Then you realize you've been reconciled to God. You're no longer at war with him. You're no longer an enemy of his. You're no longer pursuing your own ways. You're following Christ. You want the things that Christ wants. And he's given you the ministry of reconciliation. You want people around you to be saved. You want people to be saved. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You want to see people saved. You want to tell others the good news that God in Christ was reconciling people to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them in Christ. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Oh, hallelujah. That is the good news. That's why I'm doing this message, that you who is outside the kingdom could become born again. You, even as Nicodemus, could be born again. That the Father would change your life The wind of the Spirit even now is blowing in your soul. But remember this, Nicodemus could not control that wind, and you cannot control that wind. It may be here in a moment, never to return. Today is the day of salvation. Do not procrastinate. Do not listen to Satan's lies that would tell you even now, tomorrow, do it tomorrow. Live your life now. Don't worry about it. The time for Nicodemus to heed God's call was when that wind was blowing. And even right now, the Holy Spirit is calling you, drawing you. If the wind of the Spirit is blowing in your soul, the time to be saved is now. Don't presume that you can come whenever you feel like it. You are presuming upon Almighty God. John 6, verse 44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. My friend, are you being drawn right now? Is the Holy Spirit saying, yes, this is true. Come, be reconciled to God. Your sins will be forgiven. Come to Christ. When Nicodemus hears these things, he wants to know how this is possible. Christ takes these next few verses in our text to explain to him and to us how the new birth can become a reality. My friend, you need to know the reality today of the new birth. The new birth is real. Being born again is real. It can take notorious, wicked sinners, haters of God, blasphemers, fornicators, homosexuals, lesbians, thieves, drunkards, drug addicts, you name it, gossips, religious people, all kinds of people. Christ tells Nicodemus that the Savior's born a new birth was to leave heaven a bump, to come into this world to die for sin. That is what Christ has done. He's left heaven, took upon himself a human body, lived without sin, and died a horrible, terrible death upon the cross. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8 tells us, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Notice verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is the question, my friend, that you are faced with today. Are you going to bow your knee to Jesus Christ? The question is not, are you going to, but when are you going to? For you are going to. For everyone is going to bow their knee. Muhammad is going to bow his knee. Every false prophet, every false teacher, every heretic, every hater of God throughout history will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. But the question is, will they be bowing on their way into heaven? Or would they be bowing on their way into hell? For there is a hell, my friend, just as surely as there is a heaven. And the question is, will you be fit for heaven through the new birth? Or will you continue on your way to hell, fit for hell, as a sinner, enemy of God, powerless, living in sin, a slave to sin, and destined to live in your sin throughout all eternity? What will it be today? Will you heed the call of Christ today? For many are called, but few are chosen. If you are of the chosen, you will heed the call today. You will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The question is, have you done that? Are you saved? And are you sure that you're saved? But there's no doubt about it. Anyone who has been saved now is in possession of the divine nature. I would hope that it would be true of you, what it says in 1 John chapter 5. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You can know, my friend, that you have eternal life. You can know that. And child of God, you can rest assured that God will never take the divine nature away from you if you are truly a child of God. For eternal life means eternal. Eternal life. Come to Christ today and know the blessings of being born again, born from above.